Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 12. We're going to see a transparency of Paul as he reveals how he feels personally about something in his life. Last week we talked about Jesus when he was praying in the garden, how he was tempted to quit. And it was very real when God began to show me the depth of that, that he understands our temptations to quit. He understands our temptations to give up. And that's what Jesus was saying. If there's another way, Lord, let this way be. But if not, I'll go through it. And at that point, we knew that God did give him that supernatural strength to go through what he went through, because he couldn't have done it in as a man by himself, which again was a symbol to us that God will bring us through things. Many of us today have a lot to pray about in our church. A lot of people going through different things here with family and physical sickness and different things in their lives. Some things mental, but anyway, everybody goes through something. What about when God says no? What about when you pray for things and you don't see a change? What about when you really, really do everything you're supposed to do? You pray, you do all that you're supposed to, and God says no. We find Paul in that situation here. I want to entitle my thoughts this morning, Trusting God When God Says No. Paul here is revealing, and if you read his writings, he was a great writer, but it don't say a whole lot about his sufferings. He does mention it from time to time, but in this particular passage here, he begins to reveal his transparency of how he's really feeling. He's a man that has walked in a depth of revelation that most people don't walk in. But yet, in the depth of that revelation, he has paid a tremendous price. And that's what I'm learning as we serve God in these last days. I know we hear the gospels being preached that when you're really right with God, everything works out. But we all know Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. I'll go with what he says versus what TV preacher says. Because every one of us deal with something in our life. And so Paul here is being real relevant to how he feels in 2 Corinthians. Now, this is a verse that you've read many times. And as God is so awesome, he just gives us more revelation. But beginning in verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations." Now what he's saying here is that I have learned through revelation, and revelation meaning God revealing it to him, the depth of God. I have learned through revelation who God is. I have seen God face to face on the road of Damascus when he fell on the ground and at that point gave up all of his will to God. Paul was a man who was very intelligent. We all know that. We've studied that many times. But deeper than that, he was a man who had a heart for God, and a man who knew the ear of God. But yet he suffered a lot in his life. He went through a lot of things in his life. And he said, let me back up to verse 6, because I got an inkling to read that. "For though I would desire to glory, I should not be foolish. I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me." In other words, Paul was saying, I got some great accolades, and I've made a lot of accomplishments in my life so far. But I want you to understand, it was not without price, and I give God all the glory. Everything we see on the outside is not always the way it seems to be. And so he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, that I was given a thorn in the midst of revelations from God. Let me tell you what, when you walk with God, there are times when you will walk through valleys. Sometimes we feel like that we've always got to be on the mountaintop, but I've said it many times, we learn more about ourselves and more about God in the valley than we ever will on the mountaintop. True? The prelude to this is the depth of revelation in God. And Paul is saying that I have been able to influence, but my influence is motivated by revelation. Lest I should be exalted above the abundance of revelations that was given to me. He said, in the midst of all this revelation, there was given to me a thorn. Now, thorn in itself is pain. Because pain is part of life. It said the thorn in the flesh. And the flesh is always going to give us pain in some way. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. The word there in the Greek, buffet, means to punch. So he's saying that I was in the midst of my revelation, I was continually being punched. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And as we've read that over the years, and as we read that, the Lord showed me that I need to go a little deeper, because it's not his glory that he's glorying in. He's glorying in the glory of God, which is the presence of God. And so Paul is saying here that what I've learned in the midst of pain is that God walks with me. Amen. His revelation is there with me. His presence is there with me. Look at verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Now you got to read that through the Holy Spirit revealing that to you, because nobody pleasures in pain. Nobody, when the doctor tells you got a sickness or whatever, nobody just sits there and glories in that. I mean, really, honestly. So what does it really mean? It means that you're learning through your thorns and through your pain that God's glory is going to bring such a peace that you'll be able to endure it. The pleasure is that you'll be able to endure it. Trusting God when he says no. Therefore I pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in the necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, underline that little word, then I am strong. I want to talk about when God says no, and I want to talk about that little word, then. When you begin to reveal and look at Paul's life here, what happens when things don't go your way? What happens when things don't go our way? We do everything we know to do. We pray. We follow the rules of God. And still, nothing seems to happen. When you begin to look at this, and God began to show me a little deeper revelation on this, because when we read these writings of Paul, we just take for granted that he is writing to an audience that just adores him and loves him and admonishes him. And, you know, just Paul, boy, I just love Paul. It wasn't that. When Paul's whole ministry was built against negative, you got to understand, Paul is called to the impossible. Paul was called to the impossible because Paul was ministering to a group of people who rejected him. He was the one, you remember, that had all of them killed. He was the one who daughters and sons and mothers and fathers were now in the grave because of him. And on the road to Damascus, God changed his life. And now he's called to go right back into that same situation with a different message. And I want to tell you, there are going to be times in your life when what you believe is contrary to what you see. Amen? This message is for somebody today, not just me. But God gave me a revelation for this in me with the pain and stuff that I've been dealing with the last month, but I just believe it's for somebody else too. But God's called Paul to the impossible. What do you do when it seems like you have nothing to work with? Paul is called to go to an audience that immediately rejects him. They don't like him. As a matter of fact, you remember when Paul was chained on the road to Damascus and he went blind for a period of time. It was all God could do to get God's people to take care of him. You remember that? You remember he was called to be with some of them for a period of time, and they didn't even want to do that because they were scared of him. Because Paul was a human terror when he was doing his work against God. Paul, at this point in his life, is a misfit. He don't fit in anywhere. He don't fit in the Christian community because they don't trust him. He don't fit in the worldly event because they're scared of him. And they know what he did. So now God's given him revelation that Paul at one time mentioned not lawful to be uttered. Paul had a revelation that only God could give him. And so, how do you trust God when God says no? Number one, I want you to note is that you got to understand that we are gifted. Paul was called to go into an audience that rejected him, but Paul was called with a gift. Every one of you here are gifted. And not only to be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word. Or in other words, you are gifted, and I want you to get this if you don't get anything else from me. I want you to get that God has gifted you to make a difference wherever you are. You've been called to be a world changer. You've been called to be a planet shaker. You've been called to be different. Paul, against all odds, was called and given a gift. But I want you to get this part right here. Behind every gift, there's a price to be paid. If you don't pay any price for the gift that you got, you're not being effective. Say that again. If you are not paying a price for the gift that you've got, you're not being effective. God called Paul to get up from where he was and go and display his gift. But I want you to understand this. People see your outer display of gift, but they don't see your inner pain. You remember when Jesus was praying in that garden and the blood was just pouring from his body, there was pain involved. But he knew he was gifted to do what he was about to do. And he couldn't do it on his own. So he was asking God, God, I don't want to do this. Let me quit. But God says, you can do it. And God's telling Paul right here. Paul says, God, I'm hurting. And this thorn is very painful. God, I wish you could change things. I wish that things could be changed. Things could be different. And God's saying, no. I'm not going to change it. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure with things Let me tell you this. With everything that goes right in your life, there are things that go wrong. Is that true? Every time you've had a right in your life, I guarantee you there's been times when there's been wrong. There have been times you've been on the mountaintop and you've praised God for it, but then there's times you're walking through a valley and you don't understand the pain. You don't understand why you're going through, but you know what I've learned through God is that God balances our life with the good and the bad. The pain, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. God balances us. It's not always going to be the good. Easy to serve God when everything is good. It's easy to serve God when everything, every prayer you pray is answered. Everything you touch turns to gold. It's easy to serve God like that. But you're not making a difference in the world because the real world don't live like that. The real world don't know that there's a God who is able to bring them from where they are and carry them to where he wants them to be and give them a gift also, because I want you to understand, God did not call you just to sit on a bench. God did not call you just to say I'm a Christian, but God put a gift in you to make a difference in somebody's life. But you won't do it without a price. You won't do it without a price. Get this right here. God balances us with who we are. Paul was saying, lest I should be exalted above measure, because there's a lot of people evidently that did think a lot of him. There was a mixture, but there were. But he's saying all that is not really who I am, because God, right now I'm hurting and I'm asking you for help. God says no. God, you know the times when we prayed those prayers for somebody to be healed and they weren't healed, and rather they just passed on and went on to the Lord. You know the times we've asked God to just, God, would you just change this situation? Lord, just remove this situation. God says no. Those are some hard times, but you know what they are? They're balancing times. Because we need to walk with balance. Be careful of all this gospel that's going around today that tells you that you're going to ride in Rolls Royces and money's going to fall out of your pockets when you walk down the road and everything's going to be great and you'll never get sick and you'll never do anything. Be careful of that. I love you enough to tell you that. And be careful of that next voice you hear. What's wrong with you? Why can't you walk in like this? Why can't you have everything? Why can't you be like all, you know, if you had enough faith. Y'all ever heard that? Well, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't have no problems in your home. He's a liar and the father of all lies. And that is not balanced living. Balanced living is not me waving a magic wand every day. God, I have prayed and I have prayed and I have prayed and I have prayed. You know, God heal me and God do this and God do that. But you know what? God is always faithful. No matter how pain level it is, he's still faithful. And he always makes a way for you to get through it. Amen? I've seen some of y'all go through some hard times these few years. I've seen you go through some times when I could look at you and one more straw would break that camel's back. But you're still here today, and you made it through, and we don't know what's tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow, don't we? See, that's real living. Because I got wrapped up in that, you know, sometimes saying, well, maybe my faith, and the whole time the devil's doing that is putting faith in you, putting faith on your level, because, you know, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word, amen? And the word is strong enough to bring us through whatever we're going through. If nothing more, it makes us pray more. Strong is always balanced with weakness. What about that loved one you had that you prayed day and night, and fasted today, Lord, heal them, and then they're gone now? What do you do with that young family that's got that baby that just passed away and a few days old. How do you deal with that? You deal with that by saying, lest I should be exalted above measure. And Paul's not saying this in an arrogant way, lest I should walk around in pride. He's not saying that. He's saying God is building me each step of the way. You know what I'm talking about, Northview, because there's a lot of you that God has to build you. And God has had to build you through them tough times, hasn't he? I've seen some of you, when you talk, tears would just flow because you were so broken. And now I see you smile, and I remember those days, and I say, God's brought you a long ways, hasn't he? And so God says, I know you wanted that loved one to stay with you. I know you wanted them to be here forever, but I needed them where I am. And guess what? You're going to come be with us one day. Isn't that wonderful? In my Father's house are many mansions. I love this part. If it worked so, I'd have told you. I like that. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you're going to be. In order to get there, it takes balance, though. We can get overwhelmed or we can get underwhelmed, meaning God just lifts us up. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Pain. He said, a messenger of Satan came to buffet me. And I told you a while ago, the word buffet there means to punch. Blessings come and then the punches. Blessings come and then the cup. He says, lest Satan, he said, he come to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I want to ask you a question this morning. I wrote it down in my notes so I wouldn't forget it. What buffets you? What punches you? What tries to steal the joy out of your life faster than anything? Have you ever caught yourself having a good day and just enjoying the day and laughing a little bit and feeling a little bit lighter, not really heavy, and then all of a sudden here comes that jab from the enemy? The difference in balances is that it makes us pray, and what God is saying with being gifted, everybody in this room has different battles. Some of you may not have a physical battle. Some of you may not have a financial battle. But it may be a mental battle. It may be an inner battle that nobody knows about. But everybody has some kind of battle. And so what I want you to notice is that, number one, Paul was overwhelmed. He prayed three times. Now, the three times means there was consistency there. There was an overwhelmingness there saying, I am really anxious, God. I really am hurting, and I really want you to move this from me. Paul, at this point, was feeling like a failure. Have you ever been going through hard times in life, and the enemy slides in and says, what are you doing wrong? Why are you having to suffer through so much? Why are you, your family, going through all this? Y'all must be doing something wrong. You know, the devil wants you to feel like a failure. And here's the reason Paul felt like a failure. You got to get this. Number one, he's overwhelmed. He's feeling like a failure because he can't master this. You got to understand, Paul, at this point, mastered everything he ever did. Intellectually. Every way. When he did it, he was one of them people who did things big. Have you ever seen people like that? Everything they do is big. And that's how Paul was. And he mastered everything. You may have not got there yet, but there will come a time in your life when you can't master everything. You can't be in control of everything. What's your thorn? What is that thing that... And I really believe, you know, it's been debated over and over what his thorn was, but you know what the real revelation of this is? I believe God left this open, left this opaque, so that we could fill in the blank. whatever your thorn is, whatever your need is, whatever your breaking down point is. What is it that attacks your peace? What is it that attacks you painfully, privately? Paul was saying here, privately I'm suffering pain, but publicly I'm humiliated because I can't overcome this. Take this from me, God. I am overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. Now, God, I remember when I preached all night long. Would you like to be in a church service like that? He preached all night long. There's a man sitting in the window and fell out of the window and broke his neck and died on the ground. You know what Paul did? He left his pulpit, went right down there and prayed for the man, and the man was healed. Is that awesome or what? And guess what he did? I bet some were saying, I bet, hope he's done now. Now he come back up and went and preach some more. Amen. Now he could do that. Paul did that. Man, that's awesome. I don't want none of y'all falling out of windows or dying on me. But now, see, that was for somebody else. He could do that for somebody else, but now it's him. And he's overwhelmed. The second thing I want you to note about trusting God when he says no is that he's overruled. Paul's overruled. What happens when God says no? He didn't just leave it there. He said, you're going to understand that there's going to be times in your life that my grace is going to cover you. There's going to be times when you're covered by grace. And I want you to get this, an old few people, and you know it, but I'm going to remind you of it. Grace is big enough. And I, you know, we're human. Every one of you here are dealing with things. You're going through things in your families and stuff, and we're natural to say, well, what about this, and what's going to happen here, and how are we going to deal with that? You know, we're all creatures of forethought, right? Have you ever thought something too hard? You just made something out of it, but it hadn't even happened yet? That's natural. That's human. But God is saying that whatever the enemy has up his sleeve, I'm a bigger God than that. Amen. You're covered by grace. He's overruled, but he's overpowered with God. I want you to get this. He's covered by grace. Grace, what is real grace? We know what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. That propitiation that God gives us. But here's another writer put it like this. Grace is empowerment by God. When you're walking in grace, you are empowered by the one who created this universe. When you're walking through your hard times in life, you are surrounded with the one who was here in the beginning and he's still here. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing, ever-seeing God. His presence is with you. When you are going through your hard times, and in the midst of your struggles, God says, I am here. But not only am I here, my presence is here. Amen. Have you ever felt his presence come in a time in your life when you were struggling the most, and all of a sudden a calm just comes over everything, a peace that passes all understanding? Not only is his presence there, but his person. And when he shared that with me, I said, what's the difference? Your presence and your person, your presence and your person. My presence is I'm there, but my person is who I am. See, anybody can come in the room, but different people coming in that room make a difference, don't they? His presence is there, but there are times when his person is there, and that person is the I am. The I am is whatever you need, that's what I am. Whom shall we tell sent us, Lord? Tell him I am sent you. That I am big enough. I am strong enough. I am more than enough. I will give you what you need. Don't worry about if you're going to have enough faith or not, because you won't. Don't worry about if you're going to be strong enough, because you won't be. Because when things happen to us, we're human and we melt like ice on a hot summer day. But God never leaves us nor forsakes us, and He'll wrap us up with His arms and with His hand. His presence will be there. His person will be there. And then the last thing, His power will be there. Amen. That power that whatever needs to be done will do it. I told y'all before, a great woman of God was preaching years and years ago. Nina Ballard was her name. I don't know if any of you ever remember her or not, but she was awesome woman of God, and she died of cancer. Powerful woman. She was the type of woman, it scared people to death nowadays if she was preaching, but she was real. That's, first of all, that might scare them. She was real. But she'd be preaching, all of a sudden she'd stop. And I remember I always left to sit on the front row because I wanted, tell me what I did wrong. Just tell me. That's how she was, but she'd just stop. And she would look around and the Lord point somebody out to her. You know, now you don't know what to believe, but back then it was real. And I've seen the Lord just minister to her. And she said, I minister all over the world, but I thank God for the relationship that you and me got. And I just caught that such an honor, because she was real. I don't think I've ever met a real prophet, but she was. And she died of cancer. God, she's big. She's awesome. She's not even human almost. And you used her so much like that, and then she died of cancer. And God talks to us in ways that we can understand it. He said, really? Really? Because she's with me now. So she's not dead. She's alive. You know, we're getting ready to celebrate Easter. He said, I saw fit that she was done. I saw fit that her gift had been used, all it needed to be used, and then I needed her where I am. So you'll see her again. Probably when we get there, she'll have a crowd over there in the corner somewhere, minister to them. But, you know, that really gave me a lot of comfort. So our days are numbered. Teach us to number our days, the Bible says. And in the midst of that number of our days, there's a scripture in the Bible. I want you to put this in your heart. God says, as our days are, boy, I feel His anointing here today. Lord, just let me stand on this anointing, because my legs are not hurting right now. As our days are, so shall our strength be. God, show me that scripture. As your days are, so the Lord's telling me that whatever strength I need today or tomorrow or the next day, it's going to be there. I might have to be through a balance. I might have to go through a balance. But when I'm weak, Paul said here, then I am strong. So whatever you're going through right now, there's a then coming against that no. You might feel the no. And you might say, God, where are you? But there's a then. Because when you're weak, then. And there have been times when we have to get like Paul. And God, I've mastered everything. I scheduled everything. I planned everything. I had all the appointments lined up. I had everything under control. And now this has happened. And God, I just can't handle it. You ever had a time in your life when you said, I just can't handle it anymore? Have you? Two of you. Amen. Thank God for all the rest of you. Amen. But we've all been there. I know what you're trying to say. But Paul said right here, I'm a glory in tribulation. So he was overwhelmed. He was overruled. I like this last part. He was overjoyed. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I remember when I was a little fellow, there was a place downtown. I can't remember the name of it right now. I was a teenager. But it's where people went. Homeless people and different things went. I can't remember the name of that place. But anyway, first time I ever heard this song. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is. You ever heard that? Maybe quite not like that, but you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So he was overwhelmed. He was overruled. God, I can't believe you overruled me. But then he's overjoyed. So then comes into an end. So Paul says, let me get this right, God. I will glory in my tribulation. Not for my tribulation, but I will glory in it, because I'm learning that in it, there's a then. Then I'm made strong. So in the midst of my tribulation, there's going to come a glory, which is the presence of God, the person of God, and the power of God. So while I'm in, I can have a then. And I can glory in tribulation. And you know what? I'll close with this. God trusts us with his glory. That's awesome. Trust God. Know a few people when God says no. Because there's a great grace that's going to carry you in the midst of what you're dealing with. As you stand to your feet right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence today. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you are. Lord, I thank you, God, because of you're an awesome, awesome God. And I just feel like, as your heads are bowed, closing this service with, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. God, help us to trust you when you say no. In Jesus' name, amen.